Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 90, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Wednesday, July 11th, 2019? No, July 10th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I bring O'Brien Jack.
Yep.
The special guests don't know how to act.
Nope.
I got the hot takes that some others lack.
Yep.
Just so you know, I used to work at Cracked.
Oh.
Heyo.
Take him to the bridge.
That is a second attempt at the Sexy Back, aka, and I'm still playing the instrumental. And it is from somebody whose name I forgot to copy over, so we are going to shout him out at the end of the episode. I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Okay, imagine the instrumental from Big Pun's Deep Cover playing. Boom, 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 boom. And then you go, Miles in the middle of little, little did he know that he riddled the podcast with anecdotes of six-book paninis. That's a bit of creative license on that masterful rhyme, which is actually dead in the middle of little did we know that we riddled some middleman who didn't do diddly. Yeah, because I'm still on this Italy wave.
Yeah.
And I can't be shaken.
Did you make that up yourself?
Sorry?
Did you come
this
up with
just
that
now? AKA? No. Shout out to at year zero, YR0, David, for that one.
All right.
A true hip-hop fan. Who probably caught that in my comeback, AKA. I took snippets of, I was literally in the middle of Italy. You know, if you remember that fire verse.
From your flow.
When I spit bars.
My AKA was courtesy of Paul Garaventa.
Ah, Paul. Wow.
Sounds like an a good paisan.
Oh, yeah. Ragazzo.
Yes.
Ragazzi.
I believe all of this is offensive.
Mi amici.
My description of it.
Yeah, anyway, who says Italian?
I think it's...
What are you, like an old Irish cop?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I come from a long line of old Irish cops. So.
From New York, yeah.
Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very funny host of the podcast Coming Out with Lauren and Nicole, Lauren Flans.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, how's
you guys,
it going?
It's good. The top of your show was so virtuosic already.
Yes, so much.
Yeah, I was.
What are your AKs? I don't know how to ask. What's your AKs?
That's a great question. No, that whoever sent that in was riot. I was taken aback. I don't think I have any
nicknames.
No. It was always Flans. It was always just my last name.
That's a pretty good.
It's a catchy last name, so it was unavoidable.
Yeah. Mm. See, I was never called by my last. Were you ever called O'Brien?
By coaches and teachers and my dad.
Even like my own coaches, like when everyone else had a last name, I was always still Miles for whatever reason.
Well, it's a cool name.
Yeah.
No, I wish I was Flans.
You are a Miles. You embody Miles.
You can have it. You can have
Flans. The multitudes, yes.
Yeah.
The Miles.
The Miles. I think the Miles that we've all walked.
Names that end with S, I think, are funner to say. You know what I mean? Like Flans feels... Like it's like almost like a present tense verb.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll see myself out.
I do think it has something to do with how much you embody your name. Like I was always Jack, and I think I was for some reason like people felt like I embodied that name.
Jack,
and there also it's not a very it wasn't a very common name in my generation, whereas now it's like everybody's named Jack.
Is it back now?
Yeah,
wait, so did you... Oh, it skipped a generation, basically?
Yeah. Well, the greatest generation, everyone was named Jack.
Jack, right.
And then I was like one of very few Jacks that I met growing up who were my age, and now everybody's named Jack or Jackson.
Yeah, or Jackie.
Or Liam.
Janko.
Yeah, those are the male names that are acceptable right now.
Actually, when I was in Italy, I did meet a wonderful couple from Australia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and the bloke's name was Jacko? Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
His hay fever got a bit out of control there in Tuscany. He didn't bring his pills.
Yeah.
And I luckily, like...
That's allergies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, hay fever. I'm like, I think that's fucking allergies. And then I was like, give him a Zyrtec.
Oh.
And then I was like, man, you got a Zyrtec? He's like, oh, yeah, mate, that'd be killer.
Wait, you were talking to them in an Australian accent?
Yeah.
That's offensive.
Well, I gave him a Zyrtec and he was cool with it.
Okay.
But at first he was not fucking. He was like, mate... no, I was not talking to him.
His name really Jacko?
His name was Jack, but he was like, yeah, or Jackar.
Right.
And then his wife, who was a Pilates instructor, very nice woman. We started talking about Pilates for a long time.
Okay.
She kept calling him Jacko, and everyone was like, oh, Jacko.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Jackar.
You know what I love that British people do is how every nickname it just has a Z.
Like Azza, yeah.
Like Jeremy is Jez and Gary is Gaz.
Gazza.
Yeah, yeah.
Got Jazza over here.
Yeah, it's just like a very easy, like, they
big
don't have
Wu-Tang
to think
fans.
About nicknames. Mm-hmm. That's probably what it is.
I'm hoping.
For certain.
Going back to the...
Yeah. I missed a joke yesterday when I was just thinking, what I do when I listen back to the episodes of jokes I could have done. And you said, do you ever scream out loud over a song for your kids? And you were talking about how they're like explicit parts. And I should have said, yeah. Jack found out Wu-Tang is not actually for the children. So, thank you. That's called throwback regrets. Those joke regrets.
Shit. That's pretty good, man. You should just listen to every episode.
Can we cut that in?
Jokes.
Perfect.
Jack found out Wu-Tang
I'm like,
is
y'all,
for the children.
Listen back to episodes. You may find one or two lines in the whole episode that's re-entered.
They are making mostly clean versions of albums now, which is nice. So, like, we listened to Beyonce's Homecoming Live, and they just bleeped the curse words out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Over.
You should play your kid. Does Immortal Technique have any clean versions?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it has to be, like, kind of a big album for them to take the time.
Oh! If you had a backpack on and smoked weed, you had Immortal Technique.
All right, Lauren, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to take our listeners through a couple of things we're talking about. The Stream Wars continue.
Stream Wars.
This time, Friends is being taken from the young people. We're going to say a fond farewell to Eric Swalwell. We're going to talk about dollar-raising figures
raising
from
kids.
Q2. We're going to talk about the latest entrance into the Democratic primary. They're still coming out of the woodwork. We're going to talk about Alex Acosta, a good labor secretary who has that shady basic pardoning of Epstein in his past. We're going to talk about how the mainstream media needs to call white terrorism what it is. We're going to talk about a...
edition number 3,482.
Right. We're going to talk about the least necessary reboot possible. I don't know. Maybe.
Or the most. I don't know. I'm on the fence. We'll talk about
Very necessary. We're going to talk about Nicki Minaj pulling out of the Jeddah World Fest in Saudi Arabia and how Stranger Things is in trouble for all that smoking.
Oh, God.
But first, Lauren Flans, which one would you rather I call you?
Let's go with Lauren. I'm okay. trying this adult thing.
This adult thing? Hey, yeah, so Flans.
Let's go with my...
What is something from your search history, Lauren, that is revealing about who you are?
This is, I went through a couple, and I think this most encapsulates me as a human being. Does Baby Bell cheese go bad?
Mm.
I am constantly Googling.
The answer is no, I believe.
No,
right?
The answer is no. I was so excited.
Oh, wait, really? What's the shelf life?
It's like, it's basically like that wax stuff.
Right.
It can kind of keep forever. And I found like one person who's like, listen, it would have to be in a hot car in direct sunlight for 5 days before it could make you even a little queasy. And I was like, that's fucking great.
Yeah.
Do you eat a lot of
that also?
Do you eat a lot of Baby Bell cheese?
No, I have like.
You're like, nope, never had it.
No, I just
like to do research.
I'm terrified about it. No, I have a, for the first time, I have like a job where there's like a fridge that's stocked.
Hey.
Ooh. Yeah. It only took me like decades. and Baby Bell cheese is in there. And so like, I'll constantly kind of take it and then I'll end up not going straight home. And so I had these Baby Bell cheeses and I was like, these have been. And I am a very nervous food person. Mm-hmm. And just like in general, I'm not going to pretend
will
I'm
make
not
you sick.
Anxious. Right. Yeah, I've also Googled like, what side is your appendix on? Like a bunch of times. Like that's a common
You do that trick where you put your thumb on your belly button and like your other finger on your hip and then it's like that. No. That's what my mom told me. That could be some old wives' tale. It was about something about your thumb in your belly button and then your middle finger like toward your hip bone or something. Damn. And in betwixt those.
Is it your right hand?
If that...
I don't know. That's where it falls apart because I heard it. It's like a thing you hear when you're like 5 years old because my mom had her appendix removed.
Oh,
and I was
shit.
As a kid, I was like, what happened? Did you get stabbed?
Right.
And she's like, no, I have my appendix removed. I'm like, what is that? And again, I think I'm taking old memories and not remembering them correctly.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what they come to the show for.
Nah, your mom got in a knife fight.
I believe that too.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
She would play it off like, no, I had my appendix removed.
Right. Five times.
Yeah, five times.
In rapid succession.
They're like, your appendix is all up in your back, too? Like
right.
Four times?
Yeah, your mom's a badass. But
yeah, eat those Baby Bell cheeses you got lying around.
Yeah. I'm getting to a point in my life where I'm starting to trust food less that doesn't go bad because it's clearly been sprayed with some manner of chemical that is not natural. We had this. Did we talk about the Danish in the office that we had?
Oh, what we call that legendary Danish.
The Danish.
Not Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah.
We called it Danish too.
The Danish.
There was a Danish that was brought in by another production into the office. And this cheese Danish, I'm not joking, stayed fresh. Like, without being like, it was in like a flappy box, like not sealed off with the air, just cardboard lid on top. That shit stayed moist for no joke, 17 days.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And we were.
And we kept eating pieces that we were like
it's
amazed.
Still good.
Yeah.
It's still,
no,
it's still
I
going.
Would, I would do that.
Yeah. And we're like, you know what? But then we're like, this has to be so preservative laden.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because then we had another Danish that came through that did, I think, was made in like more or less chemically circumstances, and it became stale very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the better food product. You want stuff to have a shelf life.
Sure.
Yeah. That's
I think, and then it's all you have to know is like, okay, it has a shelf life because it's being put through all kinds of processes,
right.
You know?
Yeah, that's why organic fruits and vegetables go bad like within hours of buying them.
Or like if you buy bread at Trader Joe's.
Right.
That's that thing where
it just goes stale immediately.
Moldy and lime.
You better eat that on the way home, by the way.
It's like, okay, so there's 20
be
slices.
There's got to be a happy medium.
I need 10. Right. I'll eat 10 sandwiches tonight.
Right, exactly.
Let's keep it going.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, I'm going to get in trouble for this because it's very in vogue right now, and two, in the queer community, in the queer female community, it's, you have to believe in this. I think astrology is extremely, extremely overrated.
Get out. No, I'm just joking.
What are you, Leo?
I'm not.
Okay. You thought you knew.
No, I'm just, that's sort of the response that people.
Right. Yeah.
Okay,
typical.
Well, what are you? What's your sign? Who are you? Why are you? What's your rising sign?
Yeah. I know.
Is it because
really
are you
big.
Is your thing because there's a sort of disproportionate amount of emphasis put on star signs and how that could affect who you should be with? It's like, oh, you can't be with this sign. because that's toxic to you.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And also for me, I have a real thing. Because, like, I should just be like, no, believe what you believe. Like, that's cool. But right. I have such a thing about people. I'm like, no, work on yourselves. Right. Like, work on your flaws and your weaknesses. Don't just be like, I'm such an Aries.
Right.
Like, I feel like people do, and that's fucked up.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like someone, like, that's I'm great. An Aries, and I'm stubborn, and I'd see someone who can deal with that.
Right.
It's rather than, like, I am deeply selfish and narcissistic.
Right? It's stubborn.
And I will refuse to focus on anyone but myself. If someone asks me to do anything counter to this pattern I've been living, then I will meet you with astrological force.
Yeah.
Astronomical.
I went on like a first date, like it was a setup once with this girl. And I'm going to change the star sign because I don't want a million.
To protect those involved.
She'll know. And also I don't want a million of people like tweeting and being like, actually, so I'm going to make up a star sign. But like she came like 10 minutes late, like whatever. That it's LA. That happens all the time.
Leo.
But she's like, I'll use Leo. But she comes in, she's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm like such a Leo. And I was like, no, you're late because like you're not invested.
Because you
have
your shit together.
Right. You're not inconsiderate.
Like that's fine. Right. Like you don't know me. You don't owe me shit. But like she's going to go to like every day 10 minutes late and be like, Leo. And it's like, no, just right. like fucking
come on.
Admit that you don't care.
Like, I love that.
So I have a real thing about astrology.
Yeah. I think I definitely in the realm, I think it's there. It's fun to look at. But the second I think the second you start being like, because we've had guests who are like, if you're this sign, you can't date this sign.
That's fucked up.
That's a little too rigid for me. I don't like absolutes where everyone is just fits into these categories. But it's fun to look at because there are a lot of things that I do like realize. And like for whatever reason this happens, just probably my confirmation bias. But yeah, I think when you're going that far to say like, I can't date these people, or you've using it as a tool to not be self-aware or introspective in any way is the height of the fucking dumb shit. Oh, man.
What was the really impressive sign thing that happened where somebody was like, oh, you must be, maybe this was the week you were out, but somebody like called somebody's sign off the jump and it was wild.
Really?
Anyways. We refer back to our old podcast.
Oh, no, please.
A good joke for that actually would have been.
What is something you think is underrated?
I'm going to go real specific on this one. The movie Battle of the Sexes.
Okay,
which is the one where Emma Stone plays Billie Jean King and
Steve Carell
plays the guy she...
Yeah.
Bobby
Riggs? Is that
right? Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a really good movie.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I own it on DVD.
Nice. Wow.
I saw it on a plane and I was like, I think I like this movie.
Yeah.
And then I found out that it had been like edited. Like they like cut like the quote unquote sex scene, which like isn't even a sex scene. And
what
I was like,
the sex scene? Because I saw it on a plane as well.
It's two women and it's like kissing and whatever airline I was on is like. Mm.
Meanwhile, I was watching Escape at Dannemora on the plane. And they had just like the wild fucking prison sex scenes in there.
Yeah, sometimes they don't edit stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the best.
And I'm fine with it. The weird part is when the passenger next to you looks at your shit and starts looking at you like, I'm like, looking at me like I'm getting off to watching some prison sex scene. And I'm like, this is just the scene, okay?
Right.
Why don't you fucking mind your, why don't you keep watching the map?
I love
Was the sex scene from Escape from Dannemora?
Yeah.
Was it a straight sex scene or?
It was straight. Yeah.
Straight
it was
sex
a
scene.
Straight sex scene. Which is probably why they're like, well, that's fine.
Right.
I think it also, I think it maybe also depends on the airline. I don't know. I went down a rabbit hole after
You were flying on
that.
A Christian airline.
I was flying Christ Air.
Yeah. And the pilot is Rooney Glifberg, Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
And God is the co-pilot.
Hey! Ooh! Where God is the actual co-pilot.
But there is that movie about the MPAA, this film is not yet rated, where they talk about how the one thing that the MPAA cannot abide is seeing female pleasure on screen.
Yeah, that's
and
a
so
thing, right?
A woman-on-woman sex scene is like, makes them flip out. But like, you know, rape scene or like a man like having really like aggressive sex with a woman, they're like, that's the way sex is done.
Yeah, because sex is all angry and shit and nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I don't like
if
to see
you do it right,
because I've never seen a woman have orgasm in real life with me,
right.
So I won't allow that to be in films because I suddenly rose to this position.
Right.
Cool.
Guys, check out that movie. Just not on a plane.
Yeah. I am curious, though, like what airlines, what their... Like sort of
calculus is. Virgin American definitely wouldn't edit out the scene.
No, they're, yeah.
Are they wild like that?
They're about artistic.
They made, the bathroom thing.
Well, I was just saying, like, they try and make it seem like a club when you walk on.
Yeah,
like,
it's
the lighting
very
is all weird. And very it's like sexy. Playing, like, very, yeah, like.
And they
soft
got,
techno
well, they're
music.
No more though, right? Virgin America, they got like merged
got,
or bought up by
like
Alaskan.
Alaska
I think.
Yeah, but they used to have.
Oh, did they?
It was that. It was like a big story where they made the indentation in the sink, so it was like you guys can have sex in our bathrooms easier. Like,
no, they did not.
I swear to God.
Gross.
Yeah, if you Google like Virgin Airline, I don't know, sex bathroom or something, that was like a selling point. They're like, hey, we made our bathrooms more comfortable.
Sounds like they're just. Sounds like they're overcompensating for their name. They're like, no,
we're not virgins.
You're a virgin. We have sex in our bathroom
all the time. And it does. It has the vibe of a virgin's garage bedroom.
Right.
Yeah, where it's like
exactly.
Purple light, yeah, right. Like fucking felt posters where a UFO is like sucking up a pyramid.
Right.
With Bob Marley on it for whatever fucking. I don't know why Bob Marley has anything to do with the fucking pyramids on a felt black light poster. But. That was just me in my garage bedroom.
Lauren, what is a myth? What's something people think is true
and
know to be false?
This came up the other day. The thing where people think if you're Jewish and you get a tattoo, you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. Not true, motherfucker.
It's not true.
Get all the tattoos you want.
Holy is that shit? Is that like a strict? Where did that come from?
It came from, and this I had to look up. Like this, I didn't actually know, but it's like certain cemeteries that are. Like, they can make their own rules or something.
Oh, and if they're very orthodox.
Yeah, so some of them would be like, no, that's like you changed your body and the body's the image of God or whatever. But it's not like a Jewish law, which everybody thinks it is.
Well, yeah, they're like, oh, can't get buried in a Jewish cemetery. So, it's like what people always say.
That's
yeah.
the only thing stopping all of us Jews from getting sleeves. And now, like, go get them.
Yeah, what are you going to get?
I'm not. I would never. I'm the person who Googles
wow.
if
all
food
that shit
is expired.
You're talking. I thought you were about that tat life.
I mean, like, the cool Jews.
Okay,
not
if you
me.
Were going to get, obviously you wouldn't, but well, if you did, put yourself in that mind
so
space.
So nerdy. The one thing I was maybe, this is the lamest thing
no,
ever.
No, I love it already.
Jesus Christ so is my one and only Lord, because that might hurt your
Jews
ability.
For Jesus.
I don't know, man. I feel like.
Hey, Christ was
I
a
feel
Jew
like
too.
We're an open religion,
yeah,
right? That's what I was going to say, is Christ was a Jew too.
He was an organizer, really.
I was going to get, this is again the cheesiest thing ever. I was gonna get the word gray tattooed because I'm a very black and white person, and I try really hard
to
move more towards the middle.
Thank you so much.
What's his last name?
It's Miles Gray.
That's the real reason.
Thank you so much.
Didn't want to come
huge
in too
fan.
Hot.
Wait, Lauren. I thought we went to court about this. Hold on, Jack. I have a restraining
no,
order
it's
against.
Plans. You're thinking of someone different.
Oh, good.
All right.
That was close.
But that person would always leave flan on my doorstep.
What?
Multiple flans.
I don't get that reference.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and it's time to say a fond farewell to the only guy who made me angry during the debates, like at a visceral, not really clear why I hate him so much level, Eric Swalwell. I don't know what it was about his face and the way he would just kept like trying to, you know, come in big with like his like talking points and his... Pass the torch. And it's not like I'm protective of Joe Biden, but I was just like, shut the fuck up, Eric Swalwell. Yeah.
He's got like a weird, like he'd be Matt Damon's cousin kind of look.
He looks just like someone had tweeted Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yep. It was uncanny.
Wow. Except his eyes are a little more wider set than Jerry's.
I mean, he's the poor man's Jerry O'Connell for being. Right.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, you know, bye, Felicia. Thank you so much for participating in this game with 900 players already. And credit to him, I think he's the first person to actually be like, let me look around real quick.
Right.
Okay, this ain't it. I'm gone.
Right.
Like, he was never even getting like a percentage point.
He was polling at 0%. And after the debates, I think he was probably polling at, this is actively hurting your ability to go outside without massive facial reconstructive surgery. So.
They're like, what's the polling? Where am I polling at? So
they're mad.
Buttigieg is at 5. Swalwell, the fuck is this guy doing here? Is the number it says.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I heard other people have the same reaction to me, that they were just like, I hate it.
He's just taking up space up there.
Taking up space and like being real loud about it.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, he definitely caught a wave by being like one of the other, like there was Adam Schiff and then there was Eric Swalwell, like in terms of that House Intel Committee. So like, He would always be the one being like, the stuff I'm seeing, you know, when Russia Mueller shit was at fever pitch, he was always being asked for interviews and stuff like that. And I think maybe that gassed him up a little too bit. And he's like, hey, I'm like the resistance guy.
I didn't even know that was where he came from.
I didn't either.
Never heard of that guy.
That's really where he...
Big Schiff fan. Don't know who the other guy is.
No, doesn't need to. I mean, look, he died as he lived. In total obscurity and little
shit,
impact.
Oh, shit, he's also dead? This is a huge story. You guys bury the lead.
Yeah. Whoops.
How we usually start our eulogies out is talking about how much we hated the face of the person who passed away.
The deceased.
Let's talk about who is outraising who in the Democratic primary.
Yeah.
Because Elizabeth Warren came with it.
Well, yeah. She tripled her last haul, I think. Well, it was like a little over 6 million. She raised 19.1 million from over 384,000 people, making 683,000 small dollar donations.
Has anybody talked about like where, like what the turning point was for her? Because it seems like it was before the debates.
What do you mean?
Like she suddenly started skyrocketing in polls, and it was like she had been doing the same thing all along. She was just like, Here are my policies. I think it was the college debt like forgiveness when she came with that policy, but it was like the 30th great policy that I'd heard of from her. I was like,
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't. It's hard to know when everyone else starts like showing up on their radar because you know, obviously we got our ear to the fucking street.
Right.
But yeah, I think maybe also too, like, she was very vocal about impeachment very early on too.
Yeah,
I think so there she's done many things that were hitting different, you know, parts of the left spectrum. But yeah, so that's more than Bernie. And that's a lot. A lot of people were like, well, I don't know, man, it's hard to do it without, you know, taking that fucking corpo money and look where she's at.
Yeah.
So Buttigieg had the top quarter, right?
Yeah. He was 24 million,
24. Oh, wow. And Biden was 21 and they're taking big corporate donations. They're,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so this is like, and I think this shows you the power of both Bernie and Elizabeth Warren in terms of like, they're really, like, they have people out here willing to support their campaigns. And I think there is something that does resonate with people when you have these candidates who are like, I do not want anyone with an interest in what my policies are going to be to, I don't want to be beholden to anyone. And I'm not going to, because that's the fucking problem.
Right.
Cut to now, motherfucking Tom Steyer pulling up into the race.
Oh, yeah. What
the
is
fucking
that?
Billionaire. And again, that's like, both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie are both like, nah, here's the thing, you know, we don't need a fucking billionaire.
Right.
Because their mere existence is an affront to working people.
Right.
Did that guy just announce, like, today?
Tuesday. Yeah.
It's like one nondescript white dude dropped down, and there is like,
like, there's room
Matrix
for another nondescript
just, like,
white dude.
It's a zero-sum game, though. He's like, one has to go for me to enter.
It's crazy.
So I had read an article like last year about this. So he was the dude who was like, impeach Trump. Like,
impeach
he had
him.
Oh, yeah.
Impunch him. Impeach Trump. And he had like, he built this like massive group. It's the biggest voter list in politics. It's like bigger than the NRA, millions bigger than any group that's better known or has been around longer. And it's like 8 million people who've signed on to be a part of his group. And I don't know, The Atlantic made it sound very scary, like they're, or like very formidable, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's been, you know, credit to him. Although he's a billionaire, and I don't think he should be running. He has no place running. Mm-hmm. Like, of all the useless billionaires running, he's, like, one of the few that's like, yeah, I've been putting my money into the right things. I'm typically on the right side of a given topic or issue. He's, you know, puts money into, like, taxing billionaires or, like, ballot proposals, like, in California that were like, should we be taxing? Should we let companies dodge taxes? Like, hell no. And put like $30 million of his own money to get that campaign.
Right. Is he basically just like bizarro world, like good Trump? Like, he has no political experience, but he's like a good billionaire?
I feel like he's compensating for the fact that he knows he's a fucking billionaire.
Uh-huh.
Right. And he has to say, he knows how bad that looks. So he's like, but I'm the one who knows how to say the right stuff.
But what's fucking crazy is like, if you really want to be a good billionaire, then like pick the candidate you like and fucking back them. Like, why do you have to be president?
And I think also too, like the candidates worth backing at this point wouldn't take his money at that level.
Yeah, I guess.
So I feel
true.
Like, why don't you start funding some of these fucking Senate races, bro?
Yes, yeah.
Just so fucking take a dump, that's a so money true. Dump on all these challengers.
That's what they said. They contrasted him and Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg was the top donator of money to like Democratic senators in the 2018 midterms, and this dude had him beat by like $6 million, but it was because he was spending all his money on his own action committee to like build this committee up because, he thinks he's, you know, he's the protagonist of this narrative.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of college campuses organized. He has a presence in swing states. So, I mean, like, he has a bit of a infrastructure game, but again, this isn't someone who is a millionaire hedge fund person.
Right.
I don't care what the fuck you're saying. It's like, no. You fundamentally, like, you may understand what these things are, but I don't trust for someone who made their money like that to really be like, yeah, man, I gotta bring myself down.
Right.
Because he's like, well, I'll give away half my money.
Right.
It's like half, even the half you're left with is still
too much
offensive to other people. So unless he wants to be like, look, bro, I'm giving it all away. I'm living in this fucking, I bought a condo, Eagle Rock.
Right.
And I'm just doing this shit real solo, you know?
Mm.
Man of the people.
Just from a like political analyst perspective, one of the dudes at 538 keeps saying he thinks there's, Perry Bacon Jr. is his name. He keeps saying he thinks, he thinks there's room for a man who's not a socialist candidate to break through. That's not like he's saying that he thinks that's his preference. He's just saying that, like, when you poll voters, there's a lot of voters who are like, Hillary lost because she's a woman. We need a not a woman.
That doesn't matter.
Right.
I think that kind of logic being applied is so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you're afraid of what is going to happen, because we have a lot to be afraid of right now.
Right.
And then getting caught up in that. But again, most people are, you know, you do hear a lot of people be like, well, I don't know if I fully want to get behind, like, Warren or whatever, Sanders, whoever, because I feel like Biden probably has the best chance of winning. And I don't want, like, people, I know people who aren't going to vote for these other candidates. So I'm worried. It's like, dude, that's what the fucking primary's for.
Right.
That's what the debates are for.
It's the whole electability thing. Like, that's, like, one of the primary concerns for people is, like, how electable are they are. And it's like, you don't know. Just, like, judge. Don't, like, do a fucking meta-analysis of the race. Just judge who you think would be the best president, and we'll get the best candidate. Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, that might be the sort of analysis that encourages this old, yet another old white dude to enter the races. He's like, there's room for a man who not socialist.
He's like, okay, Biden has bad race stuff and just generally totally out of touch.
Right.
I'm a younger out of touch guy.
Right.
Who's totally self-funded.
Right.
And also, he said he's going to spend $100 million.
Why would he want to be president? Like, why wouldn't you just want to,
like, your fucking ego.
Oh, it just sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't get this guy.
That's the thing that people say, that, like, there's no such thing as a mentally healthy person who wants to be president.
I do believe that. I feel like Elizabeth Warren is, like, the closest we would get to someone who's just, like, a genuinely good person.
That, like, Herman Cain is actually the most sound person.
I don't think so. All right. Let's talk about Alex Acosta.
Yeah.
He's...
The fallout continues.
The fallout continues from the Jeffrey Epstein arraignment, I guess, or...
Just, you know, sweetheart charges. Deal? Like, non-charge?
Well, right, but this latest round of charges is drawing attention to what he got away with before.
Yeah, it was just interesting because half the people just read about it, like, as if this stuff hadn't been in, like, the fucking news for a while, or just who Jeffrey Epstein is out here. Like, now everyone's like, oh, I think you should resign. You should resign. So that's been, like, the thing. Everyone's like, okay, well, should he resign? Asking it for everyone's take. Most sane people were like, absolutely, he needs to fucking resign.
Yeah.
But if you are a Republican, then you're like, oh, child sex is V-chill. And I don't know. And that should be his decision with God and Trump. And I don't want to weigh in on that. But it's like, but then people are like, no. But what do you think of someone who would be so lenient? Like, you know, honestly, these appointees, they serve at the pleasure of the president.
Right.
And I think that's a matter for them to decide. And everyone has such a fucking snake about it. It's great. But, you know, the president, you know, had the emir of Qatar over to announce big deal with Boeing. They're buying a lot of planes from Boeing. It's going to be great. And in between inhaling his farts, the press got around to asking questions like, A, are you fucking serious about Epstein? What was that quote? And do you think Acosta should resign? Trump was like, look, I was never really a fan of Jeffrey Epstein, despite that quote of him saying, like, he's a really fun guy.
Yeah, and, like, a thousand photographs.
He likes young women. And then was saying, like, when about Acosta's decision, he's like, look, if you look at anybody 10 to 15 years ago, they're not making decisions that, you know, you'd be like, oh, these are smart. You know, some people make bad decisions, but that's 10 or 15 years ago. So I don't know. You know, and we're looking at this very carefully. His favorite fucking phrase, whenever he says, we're going to be looking very carefully at this, means I'm tossing it into the fucking dustbin.
Right.
And I don't give a fuck. But his whole argument is sort of like, I feel bad for Alex Acosta. I don't know Jeffrey Epstein. Well, and also, like, look at unemployment numbers. He's killing it as labor secretary. No empathy in the direction of these victims
whatsoever.
Because he's the president and sexual assault is not real to him.
Won't someone think of the powerful attorney who let the children be abused?
I mean, Alex Acosta either looks like Ted Cruz, who had been fucking around with the Ring of Power for too long.
Yeah.
Or a mix of Ted Cruz with the actor who played Goebbels in Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I see that a little bit.
I can pull this up because I was really trying to figure out that's the guy who played Goebbels in Inglourious
Basterds. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's Alex Acosta mixed with Ted Cruz.
Good looking Nazi right there.
But I like Ted Cruz with the Ring of Power.
From the other side of the aisle, did you see Christine Pelosi's tweet?
No.
Jesus.
No.
What was it?
Christine Pelosi tweeted, "This Epstein case is horrific and the young women deserve justice. It is quite likely that some of our faves are implicated, but we must follow the facts and let the chips fall where they may, whether on Republicans or Democrats. Hashtag we said enough. Hashtag me too. Some of our faves?"
Who's our faves?
That's a great
None of mine.
Question. Yeah. Faves.
Okay. I mean, Bill Clinton. I know it's so weird. Our faves. Like, yeah, what are these? It's a Spotify playlist.
He's not your fave.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fave that.
He's not your BFF.
Well, right. My fave right now is Lil Nas X.
Right.
So is he involved? I don't think so. I guess that means Bill Clinton.
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably what she's pointing to, but in the weirdest, like, most cheerful way possible. Yeah, oh my God, like, this sucks so bad, but some of our faves might be involved.
It's like a preschool teacher trying to explain to the students how, like, sometimes, like, when people do bad things, it doesn't matter if they're in our family, if we love them or not.
Right.
Bad people do bad things, and we have to know that for what it is.
Yeah.
But just remember, guys, one of your faves, some fucking Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, guys, aww. Big mood, but some of our faves.
Some of our faves may go bye-bye.
Yeah.
Eat.
Oh, shit. Let's.
Are you okay, man?
Yeah, it's just sometimes I have to do that just to reset in the middle of this news cycle.
That's fair.
Let's talk about the mainstream media because another white terrorist carried out a murder and it was just called a stabbing.
Yeah. Over the weekend, as many people saw, this 17-year-old named Elijah El Amin was basically stabbed and had his throat slit by a white man who, quote, said he felt unsafe because he had been attacked by people who listened to rap music in the past. And he also said that people who listen to rap music are a threat to him and the community. The suspect said he felt threatened by the music, not the teen himself, so he needed to be, quote, proactive rather than reactive, end quote. Now, proactive seems to be the phrase a lot of journalists are overlooking when describing this killing as anything other than a racially motivated hate crime or far right wing terrorism with their agenda of sort of like purifying the country or taking it back. No matter how you want to look at this, this person was proactively engaging in his own form of ethnic cleansing,
right?
Of his own form of ridding this country of, quote, people who listen to rap music,
right?
I'm curious, if he saw a white kid listening to rap music, would he have slit this person's
Absolutely
throat?
Absolutely not.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people, like, oh, so many of the takes, like, every time this happens, everyone's like, imagine the roles are reversed.
Right.
Is it a black person slitting the throat of a white teenager listening to whatever?
This would be the front page of Fox News for the next 3 weeks.
And the fact that it's literally the second time this exact scenario has happened is like...
People are,
fucking insane. Now it's becoming a trope.
Right. And also becoming like a thing where it's easy to be like, well, is it a mental health thing?
Right. It always becomes a mental health thing when it's a white person killing people racially motivated.
Yeah.
It becomes, he was hearing voices and it's like, well, you know.
Yeah. Well, he was released from prison on Tuesday, apparently. And the murder happened on Saturday. And some people are like, well, we don't know if he needed mental health services, but other places were very quick to point out, like, he was never described as being mentally ill or anything, like, according to his paperwork in prison. But again, I don't really trust a prison to be the great assessor of people's mental health.
Right.
But again, this is a situation where the media does not want to confront the ugliness in this country, where a child was killed simply for liking a genre of music or was killed because of his presence as a person of color.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not because he was an actual threat of any kind to the people around him in any physical way. It's this idea that the mere presence of a black body in front of white people is a threat to, or is a perceived threat to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So this is the kind of shit that we see over and over again. And another reason why, when I'm like very suspicious of people like Kamala Harris, like backing bills that are increasing the responsibility of police to not use violence or to use body cameras or to, she supported 3 strikes laws. There are things like that. When you look at that as a person of color, you're like, this is a person who's not seeing what is happening all the time.
Right.
And it's easy to just take the stance of the status quo and be like, oh, well, the three strikes law are there to prevent. It's like, no, it disproportionately affects people of color and puts them in prison for life for all kinds of shit. Yeah. Or that she's like, oh, you know, I'm down with weed. My family's from Jamaica. Cut to her locking up so many people of color on marijuana charges.
Right.
I feel like the stories just get more and more tragic. Like, this shit is just, he would have been 18 in like 2 weeks.
He's a child. The person who murdered him was a man. Like, that's
27 years old.
That is definitely some shit that would not fly were the roles reversed. I also think the mainstream media needs to acknowledge their role in shit like this. I mean, especially the Fox News of the world. Well, I mean,
they'll never fucking acknowledge that.
But I mean, the whole, you know, it's not just Fox News. It's also local news. Yeah. It's all news that is disproportionately more likely to report a crime if it's committed by a person of color than if it's committed by a white person. They are misrepresenting what actually happens in the world to make white people scared of people of color. Because they know it, you know, that's what people will tune in for. And, you know, that this is the consequence of that. And, you know, the mainstream media needs to be made to face up to that shit.
And if you really, like, if you want to be on some ally shit, ask yourself, if you see a person of color, if you feel at all threatened by them.
Right.
And how you deal with that stress. Are you doing that because you have been fed a steady diet from the media where black people are predators and you don't, I don't know.
Right.
They got their systems loud.
Right.
They're smoking weed in the parking lot. I don't know what that means. Like, really even check your own, how you see people or even how other people do. There are times I have to check people who are like, oh, I don't know. That area seems shady or something. I'm like, oh, because why?
Right.
Like, really fucking, because this is the kind of mentality that starts off very small and then feeds into the sort of like reactions that police have when they have interactions with black people, because they're sort of, they go into this autopilot of like, well, I've been fed a diet where this, your presence equals a threat to my existence.
Yeah.
So I will act accordingly.
And his whole, I mean, the whole premise is bullshit, because was this at a gas station?
Yeah.
So if that were true, if it was like, I'm afraid, then you fucking get back on the highway. Like,
sure.
What this man wanted to do. And that's like the Trump thing. And he wanted to be a vigilante because it's like,
I want to be proactive rather than reactive, was his words.
And your whole argument falls apart. It's like, oh, you were afraid, so you want, it's like.
It's like, let's be real. You were looking to kill a person of color. 100%. You found your target, who was probably smaller than you, whatever. You thought, okay, this is easy.
100%.
And you carried out a murder that you've been planning on doing.
Yeah.
It's really clear.
And you're blaming it on fear. Because it's like, as a woman, and like as a tiny woman, like I get scared a lot of the time and I get the fuck out of there. Like,
right.
There's no part of this dude that actually felt threatened or scared. Like, it's like you said, he went out being like, I'm gonna do a murder.
Yeah, that's
100%.
And I think to even create the wiggle room in how you report it, I think is so fucked up and disingenuous. And yeah. I mean, if he really was scared, why don't you just do what most white people do and just call the cops?
Right.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah.
This black person's listening to rap music. I'm sure they're like, yeah, we get it. We get this call a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and we are traveling further down the path towards a world where streaming services are just different channels that we have to pay for, and we've been suckered into paying a la carte for each one of the channels that we watch.
I remember being like, man, cable's too much, paying $65 a month.
Right.
And you're like, do you have three things?
You're
almost there.
Mm. Right. Yeah, basically. So Warner has announced that in 2020... Friends will no longer be available on Netflix since it will be moving to its new home on HBO Max. It sounds like a mashup of HBO and Cinemax. I don't know if that was their plan in naming it that. Probably not.
Rumor could be that they will have Cinemax content on there.
Well, yeah, because they own both of them.
Yeah, but they're very clear. Like, in most of the press releases, does not mention Cinemax in any way.
Well, that's because they don't have any proprietary content.
I haven't heard about Cinemax. I have to be honest, I didn't know it was still... It still exists.
I guess all they have are, like, those, like, sort of B-adult movies.
Yeah, that's all anyone ever thinks
of. The only, like, real tent they have exclusive to the Skinemax.
They had a series. Oh, they did The Nick, right?
Okay.
Wasn't that them?
Steven
Soderbergh. And then they also had a show that was like basically like a 80s action movie of a TV show.
Strike Back?
No, I think it was called like Renegade or something.
Hunted?
Like
Relics?
Not hear of that.
Cinemax.
It's funny when you're still going.
When you go through like you Google Cinemax series, it's like Warrior, Jet. Banshee,
that's the one.
Outcast. I enjoyed their billboards.
Yeah, they had good
never
billboards.
Never saw it.
Relics, Quarry, then Coed Confidential, Zane's Sex Chronicles, The Best Sex Ever, Gangs of London, Lingerie, Life on Top, Black Tie Nights, Erotic Confessions, Passion Cove, Femme
Wait,
Fatales.
Is Gangs of London an adult
not
movie?
No,
I
okay.
wish.
No.
I'd watch that.
Very, a lot of group scenes.
So... this is actually, like, now that I've talked shit about the direction that everything's traveling, this is one of the first streaming services that I was like, yeah, I would pay for that.
Really?
Yeah.
HBO Max?
Yeah.
Because I said Gangs of London?
Yeah.
And College Coeds?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Oh,
and
you're
the Black
saying
Tie
Cinemax,
thing.
Not HBO Max.
No. Gotcha, HBO Max gotcha. I would because it has Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It has Friends. It has...
Pretty Little Liars.
All HBO content. So you just
really
don't have to have HBO.
Well, no, they don't know for sure. It will like it says what level of HBO. They say HBO content, but when people ask like, so does that mean you'll get rid of HBO Go? And they're like, well,
It's like, but then why have both if I get that? That's right. Where it's going to get so fucking weird, because there's already HBO Go, and isn't there HBO Now? Like, aren't there already two fucking
HBO Now is just, you can stream whatever's happening on HBO.
Right. Now. Without having it as part of a cable. I thought HBO Go you have as your cable
HBO
package,
Go's
right?
The
and then you
one.
Can access HBO Go. HBO Now you can just pay for a la carte with nothing in it.
Jeez, right. This is a lot.
But also on demand. Right, right. But it's
but HBO Max it's the same shit. Is going to have a slate of originals and programming from Warner Brothers, New Line, DC Entertainment, CNN, TNT, TBS, True TV, the CW, Turner Classic Movies, which is where they got me. Cartoon Network. I love Westerns, guys. Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, Crunchyroll, Rooster Teeth, and Looney Tunes.
You just watched Patton on a loop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's so I don't know. It does seem like I get the appeal.
Sure. It's funny because when I look at all those, I'm like, no show I watch resides on any of those. Like for me, I feel like I could live off of HBO Go, Netflix, and like some form of thing that accesses regular TV channels.
Yeah.
Like to get into this whole thing where they're starting to be like carve up the IP to be like, well, we own this one.
Right.
So if you want The Office, you got to come do this one. And if you like Friends, you got to go do this one. How about you buy the fucking DVDs?
Yeah, that, right. Okay. Thank you for saying that, because I didn't want to be like old fashioned. But like that shit with like Friends and like what?
Right.
You create, buy it and then press play and then
this
you,
is what,
you did it.
But this is what Jack and I were talking about earlier. We're like, I wonder if the thought of merely physically opening up a DVD case.
I know, I think.
Firing up a DVD
you
player.
Feel like a nerd.
Inserting
it
is like already nine. No, it's too laborious.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what it is
that's
to me.
For you?
And also that I just want it on my phone. I want to be able to access it whenever.
I never watch anything on my phone.
Yeah.
That might be.
How often
difference.
Do you watch stuff on your phone?
Anytime I travel.
I download.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think I only started doing it because I remember on a trip or something you had. Like downloaded a bunch of stuff. And you're like, have you started seeing this thing? I'm like, what? You're already. Oh, that's right. Our phones do this shit.
I've never done that. I guess that's the game changer.
Hey guys, it's the wave of the future. These phones. I'll tell you what. Not only can you make phone calls on them,
you can take photos.
Well, let's talk about some other entertainment. Oh, Goss. Do we have anything else on that? On that, I guess the Office is leaving, but the Office. Is going to an NBC focused one.
Yeah, it's just
that is not like didn't have anything else that I really wanted to see.
I can't think of what. I mean, probably NBC shows. There's some
like SNL, probably 30 Rock eventually.
Right. And then it's like, but then then Disney's going to now controls an inordinate amount of fucking intellectual property.
I mean, that's just going to like they should just give you the Disney package with your citizenship card cuz you have to have it. Now that they own all entertainment, like it's just like
they should,
shit.
Yeah, they give it to you.
They should just get
your...
a portion of our tax money and just like,
right?
Because Disney now just owns all our entertainment.
It's called living in Burbank,
like
Anaheim.
Having a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, there's no way you can like exist without, because they're like, well, who's that? Why is everybody dressed as that dude? For Halloween. Why does he have that dude on his shirt? I don't know what that is.
What is this, Dad?
Right. It's like, it's Lightning McQueen, man. It's
why haven't you told
good.
Me about math yet?
Right.
It's too expensive.
Math is too expensive.
Here, count these rocks again.
Well, speaking of needless entertainment, let's talk about a reboot we all need. In the tradition of, you know, remaking The Jungle Book, remaking The Lion King, because now we can make it look like animals talk.
Yep.
Look who's talking now, Miles.
Look who's talking, baby.
That's right. Look who's
look
talking.
Look who's talking. Those damn
get a
babies.
Reboot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. My first reaction is like, what the fuck do we need that for?
No, no.
However, I really liked the original.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought as a kid, I thought that shit was amazing.
It's fun.
Especially when Bruce Willis is breaking those like fucking like Southwest dolls and shit.
Right.
He's like all this like cool Arizona like Anasazi art or some shit. I remember as a kid, he was like breaking this shit, and I was like, this baby's out of control. In Elliot Gould's office, wasn't it Elliot Gould?
I don't know.
I don't
you
remember.
Know a lot about.
I saw that in the theater when it came out, and that's the last time I saw it. So that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I've seen it, I think, on TV.
Yeah.
Why do we need. Yeah, I'm gonna go against this reboot. I feel safe saying we don't need this.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it would be easy.
Oh no, George Segal. That's who it was.
Oh,
George
same Segal. Diff though.
No. Yeah. Elliot maybe.
I mean,
George Segal and Don Johnson seem like the same guy to me.
But, I mean, shout out to Abe Vigoda, the god.
The god.
The one true god. Yeah, it's...
But, I mean, it is being brought to us by the writer and director of The Wedding Ringer.
What was that?
I don't know. Oh, that's the Kevin Hart one, right?
Oh, is it? I thought it was
Yeah.
Isn't it Kevin Hart and, like, Josh Gad, I think?
If is I'm that what right, that dude's name is?
If I'm right, I'm about to be impressed with myself.
Yeah, Josh Gad, Kaylee Cuoco, Sweeting.
Why did I know that?
Oh, she's Sweeting now? Who's Kaylee Cuoco married? I don't even really know.
I thought she got divorced. Jodie Sweeting. She got remarried? That'd be great. I'd see all their movies.
I don't know why this person has a knack for it. I know like Amy Heckerling did the original
one.
Yeah,
that doesn't make me be like, oh, wait, it's by the writer.
Oh, thank God, Amy Heckerling and this, The Wedding Ringer, dude.
Right. Yeah, I forget. I think the way they wrote that first one was they just had like footage of the baby like doing silly stuff, and then they were like, what if he said this? What if he said that?
Is that really how they did it?
Reverse engineered it.
Just get some baby action scenes. We'll fill out the rest.
Yeah, just get a room full of comedy writers.
Is one of the former Guinness Book of World Records smallest men in the world was the stunt double for the baby in the scene where he walks out into Manhattan traffic. His name is Mishu.
Okay.
That's amazing.
And he was the smallest man in the world. I remember being like, oh.
Did he grow or did he pass away?
No. He passed away. I think kind of recently. I want to say recently.
That's why they're making the reboot. They're like, well.
Enough time has passed.
Yeah.
There's a new king.
Oh, the quote from this director is actually really amazing because it's like talking to him about what his plans are for the reboot. This is the quote. Like figuring the word, it's the quote starts off like. Mm-hmm. Comma, like figuring out how to raise these kids with all the mistakes that happen, adding the voices that are keyed to facial expressions. It just really seems like a fun idea. Everyone can relate to babies.
No.
The challenge is that was a really good movie. Travolta and Kirstie Alley had great chemistry, and Amy Heckerling wrote a great script. We're in the early stages of figuring out what the story is for the modern version.
No, this is bad.
The early stages, like it seems like the idea occurred to you at the beginning of that paragraph.
Yeah,
because he's like, huh, figuring out how to raise kids with all the mistakes. Okay, that's something.
Right.
Add in the voices that are keyed to facial expressions. Okay, maybe something here. But it's, yeah, those are the first three thoughts that occur to you when thinking about this reboot.
Oh my God, he was also Alf. Mihai. Mishu.
Oh, okay.
I'm just sorry. I had
you
to
meant
look
that
him up.
Guy. I gave the
he
quote.
Died in 2016. Passed away in 2016.
Damn.
So he lived a damn good life.
I'd
was
rather
2 foot
an
nine.
Elf reboot, quite frankly.
2'9".
I felt like
R.I.P. King.
Don't worry, it'll come.
Happen? Yeah,
I'm sure.
But, although I'm team, let's not do reboots anymore. I don't want any of that.
Yeah. How about this? Why don't we empower a new generation of creatives?
That's what fucking kills me every
and fuck,
time.
Like,
yeah.
You just think motherfuckers stop thinking of shit.
Right.
It's deeply depressing. I'd always just think of there's someone in like a basement who can't afford to get their own, and they're like, I finished my screenplay. And then they like open their computer and there's like 8 million more reboots just got greenlit. And that person fucking.
They're like, I'm actually doing
asleep.
A spec script for Ace Ventura 3. I'm hoping that I'll really get my feet in the door.
Oh, man. Although I did just finally see Into the Spider-Verse and.
I still haven't.
Oh, you simply must.
I'm a horrible
Have you
human
been to
being.
Florence, Italy?
Oh, Jesus
you know I have.
Christ, Miles.
Oh, fantastic. Then you already know.
Why,
you've seen
it. Why is that
where
heard. It takes place?
No, I was just going to say, if you haven't been there or seen
jump out this
Spider-Man,
window here,
you simply must.
It's streaming now, right?
Yeah, it's
Netflix.
On Netflix.
Okay, great.
It's
well, there you go.
Great.
Now I can
and
see
it's
it.
So creative, and it is obviously a reboot.
And we're only, what, 11
so
months late?
Different.
9 months late to the party? 10 months late to the party?
I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure
no
a lot
excuse.
Of people are just now seeing it because it's just on Netflix.
Well, I've been constantly told to see it since it came out, and I've been like, I'll get to it. And then I finally took one of those airplane flights where you get to it.
One of those airplane flights?
One of those
They
of
might
those plane
have censored
planes.
All the girl-girl sex scenes. Right,
there, there's
you
a gnarly
that,
one
yeah.
between you.
Oh, my God. Well, let's talk, while we're talking about Netflix, it's time to acknowledge that they're not beholden to the same rules as other, like, they don't do MPAA shit. Or I guess they just joined the MPAA. But they like don't follow the same rules as movies that have to come out in theaters. Mm-hmm. And that includes, you know, swear words and violence and all that shit. But it really includes tobacco use. Their shows have way more smoking than like modern Hollywood movies.
Like do. All networks, all Netflix stuff does?
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Like Stranger Things is the biggest offender, but Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt had it. Orange is the New Black had it.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I can't. Oh, okay. I feel like there's like one character that smokes in that.
But he smokes 292 times.
Fair.
Oh, yeah. That. Ooh.
Fair.
Yeah. Hey. And I think Stranger Things is the one where it's like the grizzled cool cop does it. And so it's like kind of, I mean, you just don't want to let kids know that it makes you look cool.
I know.
But the way they should do is be like, nah, it makes you look cool for a second. Then you're going to look old as fuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit. Ooh.
You have to. I'm sorry. Stranger Things, like, you have to have it in that show. That show, its whole ethos is like authentic 80s, and that, and it gets so much cred for how authentic it is. And that's just what it was.
Right. Yeah,
like,
everybody did smoke.
Yeah. I got to dive into this season. Is there cocaine use?
No.
Then it's not the 80s.
But you're following mostly little kids around. So I feel like they're doing a lot of coke and the kids
are.
Should have
hung out with Miles
it.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
When I was four, yeah.
Were you running like coke parties for
Well, my parents used to shave my head and put cocaine on the top of my head. And I would walk around the parties and
that's
people
nice,
do little
though. You were
lines
involved.
Off yeah. the little soft spot?
Yeah.
That's the best thing to do spot. Cocaine off of.
Yo. What's that called again?
I don't know. I was just going to say.
Because I just, shout out to my homegirl who just had her baby. And she was like, you want to touch the baby's soft spot?
Oh,
and
it's
I was like,
wild.
Hell yeah.
You can see its pulse there.
Wait, I thought you weren't supposed to touch it.
Yeah, no, well, not if like, you like dig not, your finger yeah. in, you'll like make his left leg twitch, then his right leg. No, I'm just joking.
The fontanelle.
You can tell me
the
anything fontanelle. About babies yeah. and I believe you.
No, that's so funny because that was a joke I made.
Yeah.
When they're like, you feel it? I was like, no, look, he's dancing.
I can play him like a...
got her leg kicking.
But so people with more
do
exposure
not touch baby
to
soft spots.
Tobacco. Yes, please.
The official stance of the show. Don't fuck around with the fontanelle.
Yeah, that is... very important that you take if you learn one thing
from this
on the
show.
Daily Zeitgeist.
Okay. Cool.
Don't.
It is not a bowling ball.
Yes.
With a piece of tape on the finger hole, and you.
Nor is
it
a controlling device that you can use to control them like a remote
it's not
control
like a
car.
John Malkovich situation.
Right.
It's
not.
Okay. All right.
But so the Surgeon General did a study, and people with exposure to tobacco in movies are twice as likely to begin smoking compared to those with less exposure. So Netflix has responded to this and said, nobody will be smoking, or our movies PG-13 or below will be smoking and e-cigarette free.
Dot, dot, dot.
Except for reasons of historical and factual accuracy.
So there it is.
Well, it's accurate.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is accurate. And it does. I do feel like with Stranger Things, like a whole big chunk of that show is that it, like, it feels like a movie that you just like pulled off of VHS and like put in that was made in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like it's not just set in the 80s.
Exactly.
It feels like it was like made in the
80s. They honor the
yeah,
right.
And they
like
do
the special effects are made
that.
To look like they were made in the 80s. And if you go back and watch like Ghostbusters, Dan Aykroyd's just walking around with a cigarette in his mouth in one scene for no reason.
Right.
He's just like, well, we're in a library. Better light up a cigarette. You know how we do.
What was the first depiction of smoking you saw that you thought it was cool? Because I can remember one where I was like,
oh, the one that comes to mind right now, but this is definitely not the first. Was
or like one that
Pulp Fiction made it look cool. That dude from Dead Presidents who smoked through his mouth and then inhaled it through his nose. That was dope.
Little French inhale.
Yeah, and then Bruce Willis in... Die Hard, smoking a cigarette.
I always think of John Travolta and Broken Arrow for
some
reason.
Oh, really? God.
There's a way he smoked a cigarette, like the way he got his fucking fingers around. I was like, yo, he's finessing that fuck. I don't know what the fuck he's doing with that.
Yeah.
And then I remember the first time I smoked a cigarette, I had the picture of John Travolta and Broken
Damn.
Arrow in my mind.
Right.
That would make him so happy to hear. No, I bet no one's ever said that.
Yeah, right.
Like,
hey,
man,
you're the reason I'm all
just
fucking
so you know.
Wacky.
But I think definitely like Slash was the first thing I saw because he would just like shred guitar solos with a fucking
dangling.
Cigarette, a lit cigarette dangling out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, that was pretty cool. Anyways, kids.
Do you have any memories like that?
No, I was just saying, but you know what's interesting is that I've never been a smoker.
Sure.
So maybe that's like, if I did have a memory of something that was super cool, maybe.
What kept you from ever smoking?
I think my parents did, my mom specifically, did a real good job about scaring me about drugs and anything like that, which is why I now fucking Google, like, does baby bell cheese go?
So that's
the downside of being afraid of everything.
It will give you weird dreams. Cheese before bed. Certain cheeses before bed will give you fucked up.
Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
Sounds like propaganda from Big Tobacco.
Yeah. Whereas tobacco will calm your healthy nerves.
You'll have cool ass fantasies.
Have a menthol before bed.
Yeah.
You'll dream you're flying. But I did like nice smoke when I drink or whatever in college.
Sure.
And the truth is, I fucking hate the. It is so
harsh.
Yes. So I could only smoke Parliaments or like Silk Cuts.
Wow.
The European
ones.
Mm. So it was so unpleasant to me that it just didn't stick really long.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah, it is gross.
Meanwhile, I got mind-cucked by John Travolta.
Right.
Yeah, really?
Fuck,
yeah.
And it's such a weird movie.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
It was John Woo, I think. I think it was like one of his first films in the U.S.
Christian Slater, the other person?
And Samantha Mathis and Howie Long.
Damn.
And Howie Long.
And some other dude, I remember, he gets a fucking mag light across his throat. He just like murks a dude. And I was like, yo, I want a mag light.
What's a mag light?
The fucking big-ass metal flashlight that the cops carry.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it kills him?
Yeah, this dude's just mouthing off. Yeah, this is in my mind. He's mouthing off, so he deserves to die. And like John Travolta just fucking hits.
I thought you meant he shined it at him.
No. He
just
took the blunt. No, it's
just
a blunt force trauma to the dude's windpipe.
Boom.
And I was like, yo, smoke a cigarette.
So weird to think of John Travolta being cool now. Yeah. Now I think of him in like Hairspray.
He's so cool in Pulp Fiction, but I had that same thought when I was like, wow, that's so weird that he was cool.
Yeah.
Like that recently because he's so strange now.
Very not.
Also, Zeit Gang, hit us up with what your images of cool tobacco use are that stuck in your mind. Because I can't be the only person who just goes, John Travolta, Broken Arrow. I'm sure there's people have their own versions.
Yeah,
too.
No, right.
Like
I'm
my
sure
grandpa
people do.
Working on a lawnmower.
Well, we can also be fairly certain that Netflix doesn't give a shit about that study that they said they were going to look at and respond to, because last spring, the same watchdog group issued an almost identical report, and Netflix claimed they were, quote, interested to find out more about the study. So they,
looking at it very carefully.
Exactly. Yes.
We're going to look at this very carefully.
They're the same PR team as our president.
So the report came out in March. Stranger Things season 3 didn't start production until the end of April, and they just filled that shit with cigarettes.
It's just a troll move.
Yeah.
And like in one scene, Finn Wolfhard is smoking 8 cigarettes at once.
Yeah, that scene.
They're
okay,
in his
I'll
nostrils.
Give them that. That scene was excessive. Yeah. Everything else, I'm on board.
He called himself Smokeolio.
Yeah, Smokeolio.
He's doing
that. He's doing the Dennis Leary thing where he smokes around his head.
Isn't that that's Dennis Leary?
No, well, Dennis Leary stole Bill. Oh, that is the Dice Man. Bill Hicks also did something with cigarettes on stage that Dennis Leary basically stole.
Yeah.
Lauren, it has been such a pleasure having you here.
It's been a pleasure being
the Daily
here.
Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, listen to you?
Sure. On Twitter, I'm at Lauren Flans, and my podcast is at Coming Out Pod across all the platforms.
Yeah, you.
And guys, we straight people listen to us too. So
what?
I want to put that out there.
What? Why do they listen? That's... Sense.
If I am straight, can I also listen?
You sure can, bud. That, yeah. Thanks for setting me up like that.
I like how that's always like a thing. Very like mindful / scared podcast listeners are. It's like, I am not this demographic. Is it bad if I listen?
When we started, we very consciously wanted it to like have a sense of humor about itself, because we know a lot of woke queer stuff can be a little preachy sometimes, so we have a sense of humor. I'm always shocked at the number of straight listeners we do have.
We're excited. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, a lot of the ones I've been really into are all of the U.S. women's soccer team, obviously. Good stuff going on there. But there was one about penguins. I'm gonna find this penguin tweet.
Pengings.
Penguin. Maybe it was about penguin.
Penguins.
Penguins.
That is a reference to, what's his name?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch and his complete inability to say the word penguin.
Oh.
Also, do people ever ask you, like, who your show is for? Like, what the demographic is? People ask me that a lot. I think it's like businessmen are like, oh, what's your demo? Like, who do you go after?
I don't know. People who like dope shit.
Right, exactly.
Walk away from the suit.
No, but my podcast is called Coming Out with Lauren and Nicole. So yeah, I feel so like the demographic like, gotcha. Is pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, you get it. Sorry, I'm scrolling past all of my women's soccer likes. Here we go. This is Anna Drezin tweeted this.
Yeah. Big fan.
I think penguins are spot on. I have no notes for penguins. Flawless, effortless, design, story, humor, forward motion, cohesiveness, a triumph of a bird. Oh, I'm sorry, a triumph of bird.
Yeah.
That's better wording.
Triumph of bird.
Said, yeah.
She wrote for me
that.
Very briefly at Cracked.
Oh, nice.
She is one of the most lovely and talented people I've ever met.
I don't know
life.
Her personally, but I enjoy her on Twitter, and I love a good penguin tweet.
Hell yeah.
Who doesn't?
Well, there was a tweet, somebody, I'll have to find it, but it was somebody was like wondering if they go all the way down like that color, like a eraser, penguins. Anyways, I nailed it. Miles, where can people find you?
I'm still trying to figure out what you just said.
Yep.
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Some tweets I like. One is from the Tignotaro account, but she has other comedians using it. And this one is from Steph McCann at So it's from the Tignotaro handle, but the comedian who wrote it is Steph McCann at Steph_MCCA. The tweet was, can't believe I got kicked out of another bachelorette party for drinking one glass of wine and screaming, which one of you designed these tank tops? What on earth is this font? because I don't know. As someone who sees a lot of bachelorette parties, I feel like there's always some fucking like bride
like
tribe, which is like whack
font.
As fuck.
Yeah.
Keep that tribe shit away. Or like Matrimony Squad. There's always some weird
Matrimony Squad,
and it's always in gold.
Yep, mm-hmm.
So it's gold
that's
on white.
Completely true.
Come on
it
now.
It is always gold.
We have
on
a
white.
Full spectrum of colors. We can
didn't use. Teresa Lee like wear one of her t-shirts?
Bathing suits like till it rotted off her body
for charity.
And then another one is from Mary Sasson at Mary Sasson SASSON. It says single man's bathroom checklist. Quote, bath mat that's been damp for 5 years.
Oh, God.
Single ply toilet paper roll with one square sitting on the toilet paper holder. No hand soap. Crumpled article of clothing on the floor. Dried shaving cream and hair coating the sink. Ooh. It was just fucking haunting. The actor.
Yeah. Wow. I've been in so many bathrooms like that.
The bath mat that's been damp for 5 years like just shook me to my core.
I used to have one of those.
Yeah, well.
Then I grew up.
Mm. Then I dried it off.
Got a better one.
Yeah.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. after the earthquake many days ago, now Andy Richter tweeted, guys, unfortunately, I have to cancel tomorrow's grand opening of my glass dildo shop.
I saw that one. Yeah.
Brandon Scott Wolf, Indie Darling, tweeted, the Spider-Man Far From Home review really throws two kids under the bus. And it's just this review from, I think, I'm guessing it was like IMDb.
I saw that. Okay,
it
says,
we really enjoyed this movie. We have a hard time choosing movies that appeal to my husband and I, our 17-year-old son, parentheses, who's kind of geeky, and our 15-year-old daughter who desperately wants to be 20 and cool. This movie had something for everyone. A lot of action, some romance, and very relatable, well-developed characters.
I like shots
just
fired.
The brief aside to shit all over your kids.
You know, but that's a parent who's not getting... They're like, they don't love me. They're like little assholes.
Right.
And so then they want to clap back.
That's the audience for the Look Who's Talking reboot, I feel
like.
Yeah.
Just that woman.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Oh, this is from artist Premiata Forneria Marconi. And it's called Impressioni di Settembre.
Did you hear this song, Miles?
In this
on
Uber
the
ride.
Streets of Italy.
actually, Uber you know what's funny? There is no Uber in it.
Oh, really?
That is funny.
Yeah, but so, their unions are too fucking
they have,
lit.
They have taxis. Yeah. Or as we call them, Taxis.
Well,
but this
well
is done. A track, actually, I was just, it was funny, like, this was, like, in a random playlist. It happens to be an Italian artist, but it sounded like a, like, 70s version of, like, Tame Impala kind of thing. It's kind of like a sort of psych rocky thing from the 70s, and it happens to be Italian. Yes, so, perfect overlap. This is my new brand now. Forza Italia.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Quasi paura che si perda.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.